Momi. I'm from the Tokyo Church of Christ. Yeah. And, we have the great opportunity to hear these two ladies. And before that, we'll start with a song. So if we can sing this together. And let's keep seated because I think if we stand, it's going to get a little bit crazy. So if you can join me in praise. Ready? Somewhere on there. Ready?
Yeah.
One, two, one.
Don't you want to go to that land? Don't you want to go to that land? Don't you want to go to that land where I'm bound? Don't you want to go to that land? Don't you want to go to that land? Don't you want to go to that land where I'm bound?
As it is, I was going to get you all to change seats and meet the person next to you, but I don't think I'm going to do that. I'm Karen Masalo, and I'm actually from Australia, Melbourne, Australia. Although here it says I'm from Singapore, so someone's trying to recruit me, I think. And I'm so fired up to be able to do this class here today with Patrice, who I've known for quite a long time. That's right. Now, I do not feel, it's the title of my talk today, peace of mind, helping. I do not feel like that bird right now. Was anybody out there a few moments ago?
Yes.
You could tell them what happened if you like. I decided to rush the queue and went to the men's bathroom out there. And then I couldn't get out. And I was going, no, I'm trying to teach a class. Just don't. And so I pushed this outside the door, and then and I circled the little piece of paper there with my name on the class. I've got to get out, And then this lovely gentleman about 10 minutes later or 5 minutes later came and undid the door, and his eyes were like, what's she doing in the men's bathroom? Never again. Never go to the men's bathroom. I think I was being rebellious. See, us Australians are quite rebellious. Anyway, peace of mind. Any of you who know this? This is Jonathan Livingston Seagott. Yeah. Or if you're about 40 onwards, 50 onwards, you might know this picture. Epitome of peace and calm, flying over the mountains, not a care in the world. That is disciples. We would all love to feel like that most of the time, wouldn't we? Just like with God, spirit at peace, calm, non-anxious, you know. So that's what we're here to talk about today, and how to help people in our churches that struggle with sometimes mental health issues, things like maybe anxiety or depression. There's many others, but I'm going to stick to mainly those two things today. Okay. So peace of mind, even as disciples, sometimes that can be elusive. Have you ever had times in your own life where you've struggled with not being calm? In John 14, 27, and I'll read it. John 14, 27, it says, I can find it. Okay. Peace, Jesus says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. You know, the peace that Jesus wants to give us is a gift. It's a gift. It's something that the world knows nothing about. As disciples, we're meant to have that. We're saved. You know, sometimes it can be though a mystery to us, or those times in our lives of major stress. I think a lot of it comes, the peace comes when we learn to accept ourselves, who we are with our weaknesses and our strengths, and we need the grace in our lives to accept that gift
of peace, of the love that God has for us. And what sometimes it's hard to get. Sometimes it's hard to really get there and not be anxious or in our lives. You know, Matthew 22, I won't look at it, 37 to 39, it talks about loving our neighbor as ourselves. Sometimes we need to learn, even here in this room, if you're about to help others, it helps to know yourself before you can help others in a mental health capacity. Who are you? What do you struggle with? What are my weaknesses? What do I need to change? It really helps if we know ourselves and love ourselves in that way before we can give to others. All of us at some stage in our lives suffer with stress, right? Anybody put up their hand, you've never struggled with stress. We all need some help, right? We're not just here for other people, we're here for ourselves too, okay? That's important. Well, for me, about, 1998, I was leading the church in Melbourne with my husband, who was mainly leading, but I wasn't helping. And I went through a time where I felt incredibly anxious for about a year and a half. And I did not know what it was. I felt a pain under here, hard to breathe sometimes, and it was just, I thought I was going crazy. And I was trying to lead the women in Melbourne at the time. You can imagine how that was. And I didn't get any treatment because I didn't know what it was. And then somebody suggested that I go and see a professional because it's not right to feel this anxiety all the time. Couldn't get my thoughts together. And so I started feeling very down, very flat. And so I was diagnosed clinically by a psychiatrist with, it's anxiety and depression that live together. You know, just sometimes have one or the other. You can have both. So it was called mixed anxiety depression. You spell that? That's MAD. But I actually wasn't that, but that's what I had. But you know what? I went and get some counselling. I went on some medication. So I'm here to tell you a bit of my story and that God helped me through. If not, I wouldn't be here today sharing with you this lesson. And I loved psychology so much after that. I did a postgraduate degree in it in Melbourne and became a counsellor as well as working full-time in the church, as a few other things. Your people that you're helping, and even yourselves, you will get through with God, absolutely. It took me about 2 years, but I got through with God. Yeah. First of all, and I'll ask my lovely assistant, that one, yeah. First of all, let's answer a few questions. What is anxiety in the first, that's the one. What is anxiety in the first place? I've got a quote here. A feeling of worry, concern, nervousness with an uncertain outcome. Sometimes we try to control what we cannot see or the future, which God doesn't want us to control. I don't know about you, but I'm a control freak. And I really like to know what's going on, when, why, where, how, if, but. Anxiety has a lot to do with fear. And I was a very fearful person. Some of the symptoms, if you're looking at someone with anxiety, are as follows. I won't go through all of them. But things like, I had the pain across here, the chest pain. Trembling, yeah. Sweating, sometimes you get sweats. Wanting to run away, wanting to avoid people. Restlessness, you know, I do this anyway. But I did it a lot more when I was nervous. Yeah, I did a lot more when I was anxious. Sleep, find it hard to sleep. Actually, with anxiety, you don't usually get a good night's sleep. Mind racing, can't string thoughts together. So I had that, not very comfortable thing. Another question, next one. What is depression? And here you see a lady there. Depression is not a sign of weakness. It means you've been strong for far too long. My anxiety got to the point where it went into that because I've been struggling with anxiety for so long. It turned into the sadness. What are the symptoms of that? Hopelessness. Guilt, a lot of guilt from the past. Moodiness. Trouble concentrating. I couldn't sit still for very long. Withdrawal from people. I don't want to go to church at times. You probably got some people in your fellowship a bit like that. Thoughts of self-harm, not for myself, but some people do think about that. Appetite changes. Some people put on a lot of weight. With anxiety, I lost a lot of weight. You might think that's great, but actually it's not. So many other things. What is depression? Feelings of severe despondency and dejection. Sometimes you even feel very numb. very numb, and some people was crying a lot as well. Not always though. Okay, so next.
Okay, there's a cycle of depression, which I won't go through into too much, but sometimes if you've been through it yourself, this is what can happen. You start feeling low, for you just don't even know why you've got there. Things can happen in your life, work, ministry, whatever it is, a trauma. You feel all those feelings that I just mentioned to you. Then you just feel listless. You just feel no energy. You don't want to get up in the morning. Hell, I didn't even eat when you talk about dinner times. So I couldn't be bothered. Sometimes we try and cope as Christians. Oh, let's get more faith, whatever it is. Let's read so many more scriptures. And that helps for sure, but it doesn't always disappear because of that. Some people, my anxiety, I had both together. You can sort of try and really reduce the depression. You really try hard as Christians to cope over time. If you don't succeed, then you get more guilty. I'm just useless, I've got no faith, I shouldn't even be a Christian, whatever. Hopeless, ineffective, of course nothing's going on in your life. And then the cycle continues.
So that's a little bit of things to look for. So go for the next one. Okay,
I didn't know about the statistics in Bali or Singapore, but in Australia, 6 Australians die by suicide every day. Ours is meant to be the happy country, right? It's not very happy. The point of that is more people struggle with... Pull it to the
rest. You have to pull a little bit.
Oh, over here? Yeah.
So
okay.
There's not, which is kind of like standing on people now.
Okay.
So,
yes, what that's meant to say is that a lot more people struggle with mental health issues than we know, actually. I don't know about your countries, but absolutely, it'll be there for sure. And then it says 5 in Australia, 5 of these 6 people that die by suicide every day are men. So I think women, we talk a lot, right? We try and get it out. That actually helps us, let me tell you, that actually helps us a lot. Well, the question is, how can we help? How can we help? And absolutely, I want to tell you that you can. You may not be a professional or a counselor or a psychologist or doctor, but you definitely can help, and you need to. As disciples, we absolutely need to help each other with that, because it can get very serious. Do something, yes. But don't go beyond your expertise. If you're not a doctor, don't start giving medication advice. You know, the Chinese tea over here, or Australian dandelion, or some other thing. I've heard that. So those sorts of things too sometimes. Don't do what you're not trained to do, but recognize the symptoms. Some of the things that I've learned is that it depends how long someone's been suffering for. You know, in Australia, if someone's been suffering with some of the things I looked at for over 2 weeks, they're meant to be clinically anxious or depressed. And you send them to a doctor. If you don't have someone in your church who's a psychologist or a doctor, then send them to a good doctor that you know. And especially if someone has suicidal tendencies, like the other day a man came over, my husband was with me and his wife, and he wanted to crash the car, and he was in his own car and wanted to crash it, get rid of his life. And I said to his wife, you have to take him to the doctor, and he basically has to get, he got medication and counselling help. Usually it's a two-pronged approach when someone has anxiety and depression, counselling and medication.
Louder.
Oh, yeah, I can definitely try and speak louder. Maybe I'm not using this well. Okay, so there's some things to look at as well. Anybody talks about suicide, you take them straight to a GP. We call it GP in Australia, just the regular doctor who can give them medication. What about discipling? Absolutely. People with mental health issues definitely need discipling, and sometimes more. They need the fellowship. That's what I needed. I needed people around me who believed in me, so you can definitely help. You know, there's a fine line between sin and mental health issues. Just because someone is depressed or anxious doesn't mean you don't talk to them if they're sinning, right? And they can't just go off and rob a bank or something and think, yay, I've got depression, that's okay. It's not going to work out like that. So you definitely need to give input, but be careful how you do it. You get some advice about how to do that. You know, one of the books that really helped me through my time of anxiety was this book here called Rejoice Always. Some of you may have heard about it. It's an oldie but a goodie. DPI Publications, as it was known, by the Shapiros. Rejoice Always. They're 2 clinical psychologists in the kingdom. I've got the resource back
back at the end. And it outlines a lot of mental health conditions, and also medications were a little bit dated, but it's a very good basic book. It doesn't go into heaps of science if you're not a scientist, and it really helped me as I read through that, that sometimes people do go through that. And also biblical examples of people like David and maybe Job, who they thought might have been depressed for a while or gone through a whole lot of things. So you can read some spiritual examples there, which is awesome. Ultimately, next slide. Yes. This is Psychology a la Caramasalo. You won't find it on Wikipedia or Google or any science manual or any psychological journal. That is me. That is what I call managing your thoughts. You know, ultimately, I believe in a nutshell, and many experts would disagree, but psychology is about knowing what you think, right? Mm-hmm. If you're going to help some of these people through their lives, you have to help them with what they think. And sometimes we don't even know what we think, let alone helping them with what they think. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians 10:5. Jesus knew a lot more about psychology than we do. He created it in the first place. And this, to me, is the crux of mental health issues. 2 Corinthians 10:5, all about thoughts. 2 Corinthians 10:5, it says, "We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ."
Amen.
Love that. That's, if you can just do that and help your friends to capture their thoughts and turn them around on their head and make them obedient to Christ, it really works. So here's my psychology. The thoughts go in here, right? This is a funnel. This is not what really happens, but it's a good one. I'm explaining how it works. So the thoughts go in here, negative or positive, and they flow down into our brain. Here's your little thoughts, bricks, whatever. And guess what? Depending on what kind of thoughts you have, it's going to flow down into the heart, out to the seat of our feelings. If you keep filling that up with negative stuff, what's that going to feel like after a while? Right? If you fill that up with happy, after a while you're going to feel happy. Simple and as complicated as that. And there's many theories about all that, but I'm telling you, if you can get that, that's a good place to start. And we're doing what the Bible says, take captive every thought, make it obedient to Christ. You know, in Psalm 13, 1-2, we won't look at it, David wrestled a lot with his thoughts and said, how long do I have to wrestle with my thoughts? And that's what it's all about, getting those negative thoughts. Oh, I'm useless, I'm dumb, I'm terrible, nothing's going to work out for me. You have to wrestle with God with those thoughts and change them. You know, I remember one time, my children, I've got two children, one of whom's here, he's tall up there somewhere with a beard, some of you know him, Jared, and anyway, when they were like about 7 and 5, I remember my oldest son, who's a very deep thinker, studied psychology at uni as well, he basically came home from school and decided that he'd learned about suicide. At the age of 7, that's not really a nice subject to learn. And was quite sad about this, because he felt sad and thought, maybe that's why people struggle with suicide, because they're sad. And so he was 7, and I thought, So I got out this big flow diagram and thought, I'm going to teach him how to have positive thoughts. And my younger son decided, Brandon, he decided to join in as well. So I did something like this, but I decided that we had a train going through here, and the train goes through the station, which is our brain, okay? I was trying to explain that on the thought train, the train's got thoughts in it, negative and positive. You want to leave the positive ones here and let the negative ones go out of the station to the other side. So the thought train dumps the positive there and goes out the other side with the negative thoughts. My youngest son was so fired up about that. He's like, so that means when someone steals my lunch at school, I just give her another sandwich. You know, he was like really positive. He was like, and he went away really happy. So the thoughts. Anyway, my oldest son, who's a deep thinker, you can see his face, you know. I thought, okay, that'll be interesting. Anyway, the next day, my oldest son, Jared, came to me and said, you know what, Mum, you know the thought train, the negative thought train? Well, my train got stuck at the station, and it's not coming out the other side. He'd figured out that his negative thoughts, they get stuck at the station. and they're not going anywhere. You see, two different responses to the same lesson. But the fact is, that's true. Sometimes you just can't get rid of them, and that's when you need help. You know, we are what we think, if you can see that. We are what we think, we are what we eat. We are what we think, for sure. After a while of thinking something, you can become it. And sometimes we don't want to become the negative things that we think. So we need to learn to capture our thoughts. Sometimes you can teach people to journal their thoughts, writing down the thoughts that they have that make them sad or happy. That really helps. Talking helps me the most. I'm not a writer, I'm a talker, as you can tell. We love to talk, I'll just get it all out there. That is really healthy. That is really healthy. Some people do sports and get their thoughts out with a friend, like men maybe more. Being open, being discipled really helps. Turn those thoughts around. You know, the great thing about the Bible is it tells us how we should think, doesn't it? And I'll just look finally in Philippians 4. If you want to go to the next slide, thank you. Philippians 4, 4 to 7. One of my most great verses. 4 to 7. We won't worry about verse 4 and 5. Just talks about not being anxious and rejoicing. But this is how God teaches us to think. So we take captive every thought and we make it obedient to these verses. Verse 8. Philippians 4. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. That is medicine in and of itself. So you take your thoughts, you capture them, and you have to learn this sometimes through a great discipler or sometimes a professional health expert. If you need to, that's fine, like I did. And you learn to turn your thoughts around. We don't have the train one anymore. Your thoughts around and basically make your thoughts obedient to Christ. You want to think about what's true. You saved Christians. What's lovely. You know, you want to think great thoughts about each other. We don't keep lustful thoughts in our head. We don't keep negative thoughts in our head. We try and learn while we have them and change them around to make them obedient to Christ, which is this verse here. Okay. So that's a really good tonic. But it takes time to learn how to do that as well. That's where you need your friends. And the last one. These are some of the resources you might want to write down. One of the books is called Beating the Blues. It's an Australian book by some psychologists of around the 80s, CBT, Cognitive Behavioural Therapy. And it's really a fun look, actually, at the way we think. It's got cartoons. It's quite fun, but it's very, very instructive. Actually, if you follow it, you can actually help yourself out of CBT. You can actually help your way out of depression and things like that by reading this book, but I would recommend that. We need a person to help us sometimes too. Okay, so there's some resources that were helpful for me. There's some of the resources I give to women in our church that are helping other ladies with emotional health issues, and I'm sure Patrice has so many more. That they're basically experts in Singapore with all of this master's degrees and things in counselling, so they have a lot more books that she can talk to you about. You know, I'm so grateful to be able to share with you today, because if God hadn't helped me through my own anxiety and depression, there were days, I wouldn't wish it on anyone, there were days where I felt like I was going to die, and I really was bad, and I'm so grateful that I got through, that God helped me through counselling, through ladies in the church, through some medication at the time. If God hadn't helped me through, I would not be here today talking to you about this, about how to help others. I knew one day that God always uses our suffering to help others. It never waste your suffering.
Amen.
Suffering is there for a reason.
That's
for
right.
You to get through and be a light and an inspiration to others. Never waste your suffering.
Oh,
never waste it. And I'm going to end up with the final verse that I started with. Peace of mind, if you want to go back to the, I don't know if it goes back to the first one, but peace of mind, yes, that's what we're trying to achieve. Peace of mind, John 14, 27 says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. Jesus says to you, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. And that's what we're trying to achieve here, is help many women to come to a calm and quiet, awesome place with God. Thank you.
Amen. Amen, sisters. I think that was really, really encouraging to hear from Karen.
I think I'm gonna cry probably. If you know me, or if you don't know me, but if you know me, I'm very emotional. So if you don't know me now, you do know. The reason I feel a bit emotional is because of what Karen has come through. It's an emotional topic today, right? But I think especially, I know she didn't get to share very long. Of course, women, we can share forever. So the men are keeping us on a tight rein here. My timekeeper just said, I'm gonna let you know when it's time. I'm like, no, I can't see. We love to talk, but you know, she has a lot more, of course, that she's experienced. If you feel that, you know, you can relate to some of the anxiety, depression issues, I'm sure she wouldn't mind giving you some more help personally. She shared her story with me, and I think she's a hero. You know, in the kingdom, it's not easy to be a leader and struggle with mental health. It's not easy to lead a church and admit that you struggle with mental health. So I think for that reason, you know, Karen, you're an amazing woman. So, amen. Slide looks funny, doesn't it? Okay. I'm going to give you a little bit more practical, something that I like to use when I'm helping women. It helped me a lot. So I'm Patrice. I'm actually from Singapore by way of America. Okay. Still have some of that accent. And currently I'm helping the smaller churches in Malaysia. So I'm back on the mission field, which is really exciting. And it's also personally very fulfilling because I get to help a lot more people that haven't had a chance maybe to get unstuck or to deal with some of their healing issues. One of my most absolute favorite verses, okay, John 10, if y'all can see here. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I've come that they may have life and have it to the full. I absolutely believe in this verse.
Amen.
It's meant to be fulfilled in our life. Not in heaven only, okay? I do believe that we are to have a full life as a disciple. Whatever age you're at, whether you're an 18-year-old just getting ready to go up to college, whether you're a mom thinking, you know, how are my kids doing, or you're a grandmother, or you're in your career, or you're at different stages, life to the full. It doesn't mean we're always happy, but we should have a full and meaningful life. The second verse, also a beautiful verse that as I grow older means more and more to me, okay? I have my very old Bible here. Some of the youth may remember this. This Bible is probably older than half of you guys. And it has, you know, when you're a young Christian, you underline things, right? You know, when you're a new leader, you write notes. So those are some of the verses that I underlined 30 years ago or more, and now I'm re-underlining them in every version I can find because they have more and more meaning the older I get as a Christian. But I pray that the perception of your mind may be enlightened. Isn't that a nice translation? I really like that. We learned it as young Christians, the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. But I like this one, okay, the Holman version. Perception of your mind. Because like what Karen was talking about, it's a lot of how we think. What we think is how we feel, and how we feel is what we do. So I want to talk a little bit about a tool.
Next slide, please.
A tool that we can use to help ourselves, okay, get to this life to the full, and also to help others, okay? It's called a rich and meaningful compass. Afterward, I'll put my email there if you want a copy. I can send it to you. It's based on ACT, which is out of Australia, Acceptance Commitment, if you are interested. My husband, actually, Tech Ming, is the one who came up with this compass for Christian use, okay? So blame him if you don't understand it, but he's an engineer and he's very linear, okay? So when you see it, it's not a nice picture like Karen's, okay? Next slide. Okay, there it is, all right, so I'll explain it to you. So Karen has the heart, and she has the head and the train, and I love that analogy. This is the engineer husband, okay? But I'll explain it, and we're going to go through it, okay? So I'll give you some examples. But this is a tool you can use to help people get unstuck. Okay, sometimes they're stuck in a rut, personally or spiritually, emotionally, and these are tools you can use. Basically, this is us, okay? Me, this is me. And when I look at myself, there are certain things that make up who I am. Next slide. Okay? This first quadrant are our values. Okay, your life values. Okay, I'm not sure if you can see that. It says, who and what's important to you? Okay, next slide. Okay, so this area is things that to you matter. This has to be done very individually, because this is what's important to you as the person you are. So spirituality, maybe that's something that's very important. You have the desire to possibly be a leader. Maybe that's an area that's important to you. Maybe you want to be a Proverbs 31 woman. That's a goal you have. Maybe you want to have a meaningful time with God, like a date with God every week. Or maybe you want to see yourself growing in character traits. All different kinds of things incorporate spirituality. Other areas, marriage, parenting, family, friends. This is not an order of importance. It's just a list, okay? Education, career, okay? Recreation, leisure, health, citizenship. Some people give me a lot of flack when I say citizenship. But for some people, that is actually a very important value, being involved in their community or in their country and making things better. Environment, aesthetics, could be beauty, could be art, could be many different things. So what you do when you're working with this compass, first you gotta sit down and think about what are your values. I don't think you can do this in 5 minutes unless you've already done it many, many times and then you know. It's not something we think about very often. We think about, oh yeah, God first. That's your value. But what do you feel like for friendship? What's a value you hold for friendship? Maybe you're the type of person that you're very social. So your type of friendship that you value is hanging out, going out all the time, going out for supper late night, maybe at a conference like this. Every minute is packed with somebody. Maybe that's your value. Maybe you're a little different. Maybe your value is, I really just prefer one or two or three sisters that were like this. And those are my go-to girls, you know, and that's what I can always rely on through thick and thin. Maybe that's your value. You have to identify it for yourself. So generally when I'm working with this, I give the sisters, we do this. The next week they're supposed to come back with their values. Take time. Take time. Maybe something you never even thought of. What about leisure? What do you value for leisure? Me time. Okay, there's a sister that I'm very close to that she was quite stuck, you know, in her life. And we were going through some of the values in the compass. And she's a very typical disciple. If there's a Bible study, I go do Bible study. If there's no Bible study, I do discipling. If there's no discipling, I go evangelizing. If there's no evangelizing, it's midweek. Prepare the Bible lesson. Prepare the, I call some, yeah, I go visit the sick. I go visit. Wow. She's married, no children, but very tired. Always tired, but a good disciple. But she's very unhappy. So I said, what am I doing wrong? I'm doing all the, right? I'm praying, I'm having my quiet time. Why am I so unhappy? What's wrong with me? So we started here. And one of the things that she came up with is actually, she really loves crafts. She's very crafty. So if there's a bridal shower, she's the one who makes all the crafts, you know, all the decoration. I mean, we had a baptism and it was an older gentleman and he loves bacon. You know what she made him? This is amazing. I don't have a picture with me. She made him a bouquet of bacon. Cooked bacon. Bacon rolls in the shape of a flower bouquet. He was so happy. Who would think of that? I'm sorry, I'm not there, okay? So she realized this is actually something she loves, but she's gotten herself so spiritually busy that she's not doing something that actually means a lot to her. So we worked on her schedule, and she's taken now one night a week is me night. It's me night. She can do whatever she wants. She's given herself permission. She can watch her dramas, as long as they're decent, right? Yeah. She can sleep, she can play with the dog, she can do whatever she wants to do, and it's really helped her to breathe and to recharge. But she would not have come up with that if we hadn't sat down and said, take stock of your life. Who are you, and who do you want to be? Don't run and spin your wheels and get to be 70 years old and look back and say, I wish I had a do-over. We don't get do-overs, right? We gotta stop now and decide what kind of meaningful life am I gonna lead? And it's not just as simple as, I'm a disciple, amen. Because sometimes that's not satisfying our needs. So basically, go and see what are your needs. Okay, what's important to you? Next one. Okay, well, it's not all that easy, right? This quadrant moves us away from our values. See, that one is going towards, this one is going away. So things show up.
Yeah.
Internal stuff, okay? It's a very technical word, stuff. Next slide. Okay, I'll give you some examples, okay? Fear. Worries, anxiety, sadness. These are not unknown to you, I'm sure. Guilt, shame. Let me use the example of the sister who wanted a me night, okay? She's married. What are you gonna do on a me night when you're married? Sorry, husband, you're not here tonight, okay? It takes some explaining to do. Well, there's a Bible study tonight. I really need you, sister, but it's my me time. Guilt. I am the worst Christian there ever is because I don't want to do a Bible study. I want to go watch my drama. Oh, heaven forbid. You know, it's like these things show up. Now, I'm using a little bit of a funny example. We could use the example of your relationships. Maybe you are living with roommates and you want that tight, awesome relationship you've always heard about between sisters, where you can share anything, do anything, serve each other, love each other, be each other's bridesmaids and all that, but you can't stand her because she's dirty and messy. So your value is a tight relationship, but your fear and your anxiety and your worry about the things you don't like in her pull you away. So these things show up, and a lot of times we're not aware of them. Because we don't like unhappy emotions, okay? If you're looking on emotions as a spectrum, okay? Karen is sitting on the happy end. There's a line from Karen to me, and I'm on the sad end. I'm on the bad emotions. And we label our emotions bad. Anger is bad. Guilt is bad. Fear is bad. No, actually, there's no label. All emotions are God-given. You gotta think about that a little bit. All emotions are good. It's what we do with them that becomes unhelpful. So these things show up. So we'll talk about the girl with the me time, right? Her worry shows up. Her guilt shows up. Her negativity shows up. I'm having me time and I'm still unhappy. Must be I need more me time. Okay, I'm not gonna stand by with anybody anymore. Okay, you know, all these things show up. Now, over here, next quadrant, what do we do to cope when we have feelings we don't like? I don't wanna call them bad feelings, okay? I'm gonna call them unhelpful feelings. What do we do with all this unpleasantness? Okay, next slide. The normal, we eat. We feel guilty, we feel discouraged, we feel negative. I'm not like Karen, obviously. Okay, I eat when I get discouraged. I wish I had your problem, okay? It's always the opposite of what you have, right? Some of us, okay, I know what I need to feel better. I'm gonna go to that cafe and have my favorite chocolate cake. Or we sleep, substance abuse, addiction, exercise. I'm gonna add some that I have on my paper, but I don't have on the slide. We pray more. I'm really discouraged. I'm feeling very useless in the kingdom. I'm gonna have an hour long quiet time on my knees, under the moonlight, at the beach, or something like that, right? I'm gonna fast for a week, and then I'm sure I'll get my joy back. I'm gonna go out and evangelize. You just work your way out of your depression. Or I'm gonna serve. Jesus said it's better to give than to receive. That's why I'm not happy. And we do stuff to cope with the feeling, but guess what? You notice what quadrant it is? This is the away. Have you ever had a long prayer or a week of trying to be really spiritual and come out still not happy? Am I? Oh, good. I'm not the only one. Okay. Thank you, sisters. Amen. Vulnerability. Okay. I think you can catch what I'm saying. We spiritualize things and we try to Christianize and get stronger spiritually to get out of what's the real issue. So maybe the sister who didn't like her roommate feels guilty. I should love everybody. I just can't stand her dirty socks. But I should love her, so therefore I'm bad. So I'm gonna go and do the laundry for her. And I'm gonna go and have devotional with her. And I'm gonna make sure we're together all the time. And surely I will be loving her. But I do that, and then I feel this, and then I do that, and then I feel this. And none of it is helpful. Are you catching what I'm sharing?
Yes.
I hope you can catch it. That's why maybe later you'll need to use it yourself. But it's serious things that can draw us away from actually what is important to us, even in our relationship with God. Okay? So, what are we going to do about all this? I don't want to leave you stuck on the unhappy side, okay? Next slide. This one, you got to think about what's the cost? If you have ever heard of any of the schema terms, this is avoidance or overcompensation, okay? All of the above, right? Okay, but avoidance can definitely. Even over-exercising, over-serving, over-giving can all be to avoid feeling these uncomfortable emotions. And you'll come right back to this side and it'll be a vicious cycle. You gotta think, what's the cost? Next one. This is what Karen was explaining just now, but I put in a few more things. Okay, so the event happens, how you think, how you feel will affect what you do. Okay, I'm not going to explain it more because she did a great job with that. Next one. Okay, we want to go towards our value. What are you willing to let go of? Okay, to deal with the internal stuff. And then what will Jesus teach you to do? So I'll give you an example. Okay, so our girl is feeling uncomfortable with her roommate. She's tried to love her roommate in spite of her problems. She's tried to serve her roommate so that she can feel better about herself as a disciple. I'm doing my job as a disciple. I'm a good disciple. She's tried to avoid her roommate by not being home when her roommate comes back, or being too busy doing Bible studies to never be home. She's tried everything, and she still doesn't like her roommate, and they still don't have a good relationship. So she has a choice now. On this side, she can just let go. She can just let go. Stop caring about the dirty socks or the messy living environment. You can do that. If you are able to let go, amen. Let it go, like the song, right? I can't sing, so I won't sing, but everybody knows that song, right? You just let it go. Not many of us can really do that. Maybe at 1%. So Are you willing to take it with you? What does that mean? You know, you ever get that tightness in your chest or butterflies in your stomach when you've got to face a sister that you don't like and you've got to confront her, or you've got to work through a situation that you know this could go either way. She could either end up loving me or hating me. You ever felt that way? Okay. Yeah, when you're trying to do what's right, but you're not sure the outcome, how it will be, and you feel a bit uncomfortable. This is what we talk about, taking it with you. Letting yourself feel that uncomfortable emotion. I'll let you in on a clue right now. It's very hard to talk to all of you guys. This is an overwhelming group of people, right? We have anxiety issues. It's like, so what am I going to do? Tell them, no, thank you, I'm not going to teach a class? I could, right? That is my choice, and I could do that. But why don't I just take my anxiety with me? It's here. It's okay. I acknowledge it. I have a choice. What's my value? My value is being able to give to you what's been helpful for me. Maybe it will also lead you to being help other people. That's my value. So I gotta deal with my stuff. Take it with me, acknowledge it, and then do what's important to me. We're so afraid of feeling uncomfortable. So we avoid it. And when you avoid it, there are consequences. You lose a relationship, you lose connection, you could lose a job, you could lose a roommate, you could lose your leisure time, you could lose your children, your husband, your parents, your career. I mean, there's a cost. So getting to be comfortable and acknowledge and be honest with yourself about your feelings is an important step to moving towards what is valuable in your life. Now obviously some feelings are very intense. I use the small example of dirty socks and roommate, right? You might need a third party to help you deal with those feelings, to help you sit with them and get used to naming them and knowing what they are, and then how are you behaving? When you figure out how you're behaving that's not helping you, it's taking you away, then you need help. So how do I move forward? What would Jesus teach me to do? That's the most important question. What would Jesus teach me to do? Would Jesus tell me, be unhappy? That's not the verses we just read, right? Jesus says, I came to give you life to the full. Does that mean my life has to look like your life? No. He knows me. He made me inside and out, so he knows what makes me happy. So the feelings I have and the needs I have are God-given. They're not wrong. As long as they don't go into sin, right? And I've got to learn that. So what would Jesus teach me to do? Love your roommate. Speak the truth in love. Be vulnerable. Go get reconciled. Deal with the dirty socks, okay? Come on, for pity's sake. She can just leave them in her room instead of leaving them in the living room. Deal with it, but deal with it righteously. Okay? That's how God would teach you. And you can get help. So I've used this with a lot of different situations.
Next slide.
This one, okay? What would Jesus tell you to do? All right? This is basically moving towards your values. Next slide. What do you gain? Peace of mind, for one thing. Whew, I'm so glad I talked to her about the dirty socks. Now it's over. Okay, now we can actually build our friendship because we're being honest with each other. Okay? So what would Jesus teach you to do? It's all in the scriptures. So how do you use this? Okay, next slide. How do you use this? Somebody has been a Christian for 15, 20 years and they feel like giving it all up. Maybe there's a non-Christian man who's paying a lot of attention to them, feeling that need for affirmation and love. Talk about their values. Sister, what do you really value? Why do you want that relationship? What is the need that's not being met? And actually, is this going to lead you towards your value, or is this going to take you away from your value? You see what I'm talking about? Okay?
Yep.
So this is very, very helpful. Figure out what's important. And then figure out what's showing up that's blocking you. What are you doing to cope with what's showing up? And how is that actually helpful? Now, if praying all day and fasting a week helps you move to your value, then do it. But don't just do it. Do it because it has a purpose to it that's actually helpful to you. Okay? If you need to de-stress by going to the movies, go to the movies. But don't go to the movies to avoid seeing your roommate that you don't like. Okay? I think you're getting the difference, all right? There's nothing wrong with jogging and eating and movies and exercise and prayer and fasting and etc. It's why you're doing it. And that will change the outcome. That will change the outcome. Okay? Last one. So, I'm not going to actually do question and answer, but I wanted you to have a chance if you want this PowerPoint, if you want the slides, okay? I also have it in Mandarin. No, I did not translate it myself. I have Patty from the Sinju Church and her girls. They did a great job translating into Mandarin, so if anybody needs that, sorry, I don't have it in Bahasa. But I think what the point, the last point in closing is, God obviously loves us amazingly, abundantly. He wants us to feel that. He wants us to know that. He wants us to have life to the full. So let's figure out what's blocking us and deal with it with God's word that gives us life. Amen. I think we have pretty much finished, and I know that it's very crowded, so please feel free to go. But if you want to stay and ask us some questions personally, we'll be up here in the front. So thank you all, sisters, very much. Thank you.
We're right on time. We actually have 5 minutes left.
That's okay.
Thank you very much.
By the time you start asking questions,
then it'll be like, don't stop.